Well, good morning, everyone. We're turning to a new book, the book of Joshua, and the chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read some verses from the first chapter. It is necessary because we'll be studying Joshua and seeing in him a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, many likenesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the opening verses of this chapter are very important. And so we're going to take a minute or two just to read them and make them the basis of our study. Joshua, over towards the beginning of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 and the verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. There is an important little thought comes to my mind as I read that first verse. Can you imagine how Israel felt when Moses died? Oh, I know that throughout the time of his leadership, they were fighting with him and quarreling with him and giving him all sorts of trouble. I was just thinking yesterday as I did my Bible reading, I'm reading in Numbers, that we need to learn that we're no better than Israel. They quarreled with Moses virtually every chapter you read in those early books of the Bible. And we're no better. Just you remember that. And if you look at your heart and think of your own thoughts, you will see there are many times you quarrel with the Lord. You quarrel with the Lord. You complain in your heart against God. You don't realize it, but when you complain about some duty that is yours as a Christian, some obligation that is yours as a Christian, you're quarreling with the Lord. You're saying, why do I have to do this? Why is this necessary? Why does God lay this on me? You may not realize it, that you're quarreling with the Lord, but that's what you're doing. It's the same, exact same spirit that was manifested by Israel when they quarreled with Moses, and of course in quarreling with him, they were quarreling with the Lord. But even though that was the case, when he died, what a shock that was. What a vacancy was left. What a vacuum was left when he died. I have no doubt that people, as we are inclined to do, always look at things on the dark side. What are we going to do now? Such a mighty man. No one can ever take his place. We're finished now. That's the way we think, you know. That's the way we think. Forgetting that God raised up Moses. God raised up Moses. The existence of Moses stemmed from God. The mightiness of Moses came from God. And the God who gave them Moses, when Moses is taken away in death, God can supply another. And of course that's what happened when God raised up Joshua. So here we have in the first verse, God is now stepping in. He's speaking to Joshua. Moses is dead. And he says, verse 2, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Boys and girls, let me tell you, as Christians, you will get nowhere simply sitting on your rear end. You have got to get up and claim for yourself the blessings of God. You've got to reach out. You've got to go to the prayer meeting. You've got to take your place when a witness for God is mounted. You've got to be there. You've got to do what you can to advance the cause of God. And in so doing, you will go forward. You will possess the land. Many Christians, you know, sit and complain, oh, I have no blessing and I have no joy and all the rest of it. But they're just sitting there. God said to Joshua, look at it. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given. So, that part of the promised land over there, I can never enjoy it until I walk over to it, till I claim it. That's what God was saying. And that is the same still for each and every one of us. We can never enjoy the blessings that God has for his people until we step forward and claim them. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now if you carry in your head, as you should, a little map of Israel, you will know, looking at that map, over there on the left-hand side is the great Mediterranean Sea. Down here, Egypt. Up north, well, that's Lebanon, and on up into those regions beyond. And the way out on the right-hand side, the east, the great river Euphrates. That's right in Babylon. And do you notice that that's the coastline that God gives? The great sea, Lebanon, Egypt, the river Euphrates. And only for a short period, during the reign of David and the reign of Solomon, did Israel ever occupy all that territory. The rest of the time they were driven back and they were confined in a narrow little area. Oftentimes they didn't even reach onto the great western sea because the Philistines, they lived there. And even to this day, we hear talk about the Gaza Strip. That's the little strip of land right down the coast. And Israel doesn't own that. Israel doesn't occupy that to this day. And it was often the case, right back throughout the history of Israel, as recorded in the Old Testament. Much of the land that God says is yours, they never occupy. And I tell you, it's the same with Christians. Much of the treasury that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, we never put our hands upon. We never claim it. We never say, this is mine. I want it, Lord, and I'm claiming it now, and I'm going forward to take it in faith. That's what David did when he faced Goliath, you see. He said, this man should not be shouting as he is. He should not be uttering the words that he does. This is contrary to God's will. We're not to be dominated and ruled over by the likes of him, and I'm not going to stand for it. And as God helps me, I'm going to shut the mouth of this man. He did it because he claimed what he believed God had given to his people. The rest of the army of Israel, they were lying, cowering, scared out of their lives of this great giant. They weren't proclaiming the victory over him, as was promised by the Lord, but David claimed it. And so many of us, sadly, we're like that. We're like that. We don't claim what is rightly ours. Rather, we lie down under the limitation imposed upon us by unbelief, by sin, by the world. So, God tells them where their territory stretch from. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. That's what's needed, you know. You've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. That's what's needed if you're going to be a successful Christian. You can't have wobbly knees and trembly lips, you know. I'm so frightened. You can't be successful as a Christian if that's your spirit. Got to be courageous. That's what here is said to Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a good introduction to what the book of Joshua is all about. And as we look at the book of Joshua and consider the life of Joshua, I tell you this, boys and girls, there's a wonderful series, not just one likeness. Have you ever heard it said? It's maybe been said to you. A visiting auntie comes to your house and looks at you and says, "Oh, you're the picture of your mommy or your daddy. You've got their eyes." And they just are picking out one likeness. Well, when we come to Joshua, he is a picture of the Lord Jesus, and it's not just one item in his life that shows to us, reflects for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many aspects, and that's how it should be with you and me. Please, you learn that. There should be in your life a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. A likeness in your word. A likeness in your behavior. A likeness in how you do things. People should be able to see, you know, that's a likeness to the Lord Jesus. As it was said of the disciples, their enemies looked at them and they said, you know, these men have been with Jesus. We can see his influence. We can see his likeness in them. What a compliment that is for the world to say that about you. Well, the first likeness, and we have only a few minutes left in our study today, but the first likeness is very simple. Maybe somebody could suggest it to me. It is very simple. First likeness to the Lord Jesus found in the life of Joshua. It's so simple you've overlooked it. It's his name. It's his name. If Matthew, Mark, Luke and John had been written in Hebrew rather than in Greek, as it was, if it had been written in Hebrew, the angel would have said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sin." Because you see, the name Joshua is the Hebrew form of the name Jesus, which is the Greek form. Both the same name. Same name. So here's a likeness right away. That's very obvious and very simple to understand. He had the same name as the Lord Jesus. Now, as Christians, we don't believe in using the name of the Lord Jesus when we give names to boys. Now, some countries do that, you know, and you will find, particularly I think of Spain, Roman Catholic country, they will name their boys Jesus. Well, I don't think that's right, because you see, the name of the Lord Jesus, high above all. The name Jesus has become very special ever since it was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And among Christians, among believers, among those who love the Lord, they have never felt it proper to use that blessed name and give it to one of their children. Because it's such a precious name. It's such a precious name. But if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And here is a verse that causes a little confusion sometimes among Christians when they read the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. And, well, we'll read from verse 7. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Do you know who that Jesus is that's referred to in verse 8? Is that the Lord Jesus? No. You don't have margins, I don't think, in your Bibles. But if you had a margin, at the side, you would see Joshua. Paul, who is the writer of this book, here is not referring to the Lord Jesus when he uses the name Jesus. He's referring to Joshua. He writes the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. So here's an example of the fact that the name Joshua is exactly the same name as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have as the first picture of the likeness between Joshua and the Lord Jesus the fact that they both shared the same name. They both shared the same name. Boys and girls, it's our privilege to bear the name of the Lord Jesus. We are followers of the Lord Jesus. We are Christian followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. we carry his name even about us. There should be that similarity then, even as there was between Joshua and Jesus. That's just better. Lord, bless your word. Please give us understanding of these things. And may we feel pressed upon our heart the need for us to be like Jesus. The old hymn said, I would be like Jesus. Lord, help us to be like Thee. Bless your word then to us all. Bless the school today. Undertake for it. Provide for it, Lord, every day. Bless the teaching staff and those among them that need your strengthening, healing touch. Answer prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.